morning, friends. So not only is this my first time preaching with all of you, it is my first time preaching and single momming at the same time. Those are matches, and we're going to not touch them, okay? Yeah, okay. That's right. First lesson of the day. We give thanks for spouses who usually do this so mommy can work. Yeah, we're good to go. So, friends, I have always loved the Psalms. They've always been one of my favorite books of the Bible, in part, I think, because they express this full range of human experience and emotion. I feel quite sure that if they were letting women publish things back then, there would be a psalm about trying to work and mom at the same time. The book of Psalms, if you read them, are full of praise and prayer. They're full of thanksgiving and petition, of lament and grief. The psalmists never shy away from questioning God or demanding God's guidance or resting in God's presence. So today we're reading Psalm 1, the very first one in the book, which functions as a sort of invitation and an introduction to the rest of the psalms that follow it. But unlike the rest of the psalms, Psalm 1 doesn't really delve into these complexities of the human experience. This psalm lacks the raw, honest lament and the soaring, poetic praise of the psalms that follow it. Instead, this psalm invites us to meditate, to reflect, and to immerse ourselves in the entirety of the book to follow, to remember and recite these psalms by day and by night, so that we might find ourselves rooted more fully in God's wisdom and grace, and that we might travel the path of the righteous.
We read the first psalm. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So endeth the reading, and may God add his blessing of understanding. Amen.
Will you be with me in prayer? Spirit of wisdom and inspiration, move in and through us again this day. Stir up our hearts and our minds and our spirits, that we may receive a new and inspired word from you. Amen. So a few summers ago, I was sitting in the middle seat of a canoe, a camera slung around my neck, sweat trickling down my back. It was a humid but overcast day on the Hillsborough River. My husband Brian and his uncle Bill were paddling our canoe along the lazy river. We passed turtles sunning themselves on logs, ibis wading on their stick-thin legs through the shallows along the bank, and lots of alligators. Some were just eyes floating along the surface. Others were lurking in the long grasses on the bank. But then there were the trees. These soaring cypress trees grew along both sides of the river, their long branches bending towards the center of the river as if they were reaching out for one another, forming these arching canopies of green boughs. Others were closer to the ground, sending branches out just over our heads so that we had to duck under them to avoid getting a face full of bark. As we rounded yet another bend in the river, I spotted one more tree. It was standing not along the bank, but right in the center of the river, its massive, gnarled trunk disappearing into the dark water. And I started to wonder what those trees' roots must look like, digging deep and wide into that riverbed, holding tightly to the earth. Through storm and drought, rain and sun, this tree in the middle of this river was rooted so deeply that it continued to thrive. Like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, this tree is the central image in this opening chapter of the book of Psalms. In a book that is filled with prayers and hymns, this first chapter is neither. It instead offers this image of a tree and a statement about what it means to live a life rooted in God's story. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on that law day and night. The opening verses show us where to sink our roots, that is, into the law of the Lord. At first glance, this law of the Lord thing sounds sort of like we're being asked to memorize a bunch of rules and then live in constant fear of breaking one. But in his interpretation commentary, James Mays suggests that this understanding is much too narrow in this case. He says that God's law, or Torah, is used more broadly here to mean instruction, and refers in this case to the whole body of tradition and teaching. In other words, the psalmist is inviting us to sink deeply into God's story, to delight in the ways that we have been invited into that story. For the psalmists, this would have included the stories of their ancestors, the promise of the prophets, of God's promise of a blessing through Abraham, of God's liberation of the people from Egypt, of Moses' encounter with God on the holy mountain, and of God's grace when the people grumbled for food in the desert. For us, of course, God's story continues through the life and ministry of Jesus, and then through Peter and Paul and the early church leaders. We are invited to delight in all of these stories of God, to drink deeply from their wisdom, to wrestle with their questions, and to sink into them with the joyful abandon of a toddler in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese. God wants us to be fully immersed, to be buried up to our necks and laughing with delight in the knowledge that God's story is our story, that our roots sink deep and into rich and ancient soil that holds us tightly even when the storms are swirling. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on God's law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. So if these opening verses show us how it is that we sink our roots into God's story, by meditating on God's story day and night, the closing verses tell us why that rootedness matters. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. In other words, if your roots are not dug deep, if you have not really settled into the soil, if you haven't settled into God's story, then we're going to be in trouble when the first storm comes along and the wind starts to pull at you, and the rain threatens to wash away your shallow grip in the place that you are rooted. But when we are deeply rooted, when we have dug ourselves into that rich soil that is God's story, when we let the tiny tendrils of our story wrap themselves around the roots of God's grace, then those storms become a bit easier to weather. Because when we find ourselves rooted in God's story, we remember that we do not weather storms alone, nor are we the first to weather them. When we root ourselves in God's story, we are anchored by stories and words and hope and the strength of those who have gone ahead of us, who have written their own chapters in God's story that is now your story. The challenge, of course, particularly today, is there are so many narratives and so many voices competing for our attention and loyalty. There are other people that want us to be rooted in their stories instead of God's. So how is it that we stay rooted in God's story? You are standing, we are standing, at the beginning of a stewardship season. So perhaps we start this rooting by thinking about our commitment to this congregation. How does this community, our gathering for worship and fellowship and prayer, nurture our rootedness with God? How is it that being here together reminds us that we're rooted in God's stories? And what are the other ways that we can keep God's wisdom with us day and night? Are there daily spiritual practices that we can pick up to remind us of God's presence? A few years ago, my congregation in Westbrook spent the entire season of Lent exploring the Lord's Prayer. I invited people to write the words of the prayer on a small note card and keep it in a place where they would see it every day. So I put mine on the mirror in my bathroom, so that those familiar words would greet me every morning and every night when I was brushing my teeth. And I didn't really know what to expect from this practice. Sometimes preachers give you homework that they haven't done themselves yet. And I didn't know. Would I even notice the words after a few weeks, or would they just blend in as I frantically brushed my teeth? But I found myself thinking about those petitions in new ways. I found myself thinking differently about daily bread and forgiveness. I found myself sinking more deeply into this prayer. And I found myself beginning and ending each day by pondering where I had glimpsed God's kingdom that day in my comings and goings. Just as a healthy, deeply rooted tree requires regular water, sun, and care, so our rootedness in God requires us to study, reflect, and nurture our life of faith. How will you sink your roots a little deeper this week? I want to leave you with a translation of Psalm 1. That was written by Rabbi Menachem Creditor, who writes, "Blessed is the one who neither walks, nor stands, nor sits in cynicism, but rather delights in the wisdom of the infinite, meditating and acting wisely day and night. That one shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that brings forth nourishment when needed, who succeeds and gains in strength over time. Scornful people are not like this. They are like chaff driven by the wind. Abuse and hurt will not last in a just community. God knows us deeply and is the love that we seek." May we be rooted in God's story and know that God is rooted in us. Amen.